Welcome to segment two of the TKO. In segment two, we're going to go over UFC 126 that happened February 5th and recap some of the big fights from that night. Obviously, the biggest fight of the night was Anderson Silva defending his title against Vitor Belfort, the middleweight title there. Right. Ended up knocking him out in the first round with a front kick.
To the face.
To the face. It was a very interesting kick to see. I mean, you don't see a whole lot of front kicks knocking someone
especially
out.
Especially to the face, even. I mean, they're more like to the thigh, get away from
you.
Yeah,
sort of create space. But Anderson Silva, and he trained this, I guess. Like, he was training in Black House Gym with Steven Seagal, and I guess Steven Seagal helped him perfect his front kick, and then he comes into a fight and uses it to knock out Vitor Belfort, I believe to that point had never been knocked out.
No, never been knocked out. That was his first knockout, was a front kick to the chin.
It was beautiful.
It was great execution. Steven Seagal taught him well, I guess.
Yeah. I think he looked more convincing as a trainer than in Machete as the bad guy or whatever, you know? I mean, it was awesome.
It really was.
And really saved that title fight because the first 2 minutes were just crap.
Yeah, very boring.
I mean, just they were feeling each other out. They were hitting at the air. You know, Anderson Silva does a kick, misses. Belfort takes him down. They kind of scramble, get up. Anderson hits him with a knee that kind of wobbled him. And then it was just like it was all on from there. You know,
I think Vitor did get one punch in there.
And
you could see, yeah, you could see after that, Anderson, the switch sort of flipped at that point. You know,
then he was kind of like, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, he got a little pissed off there and came after him at that point. So I think Vitor made a really bad decision.
And it was about 30 seconds of pure action.
Yeah.
And it was over.
After 2 minutes of nothing. And I mentioned it in the last podcast, you know, which Anderson Silva are we going to see?
Yeah.
And it started out for the first 2 minutes looking like the bad Anderson Silva, you know, and you're just dancing around and not really engaging at all. And, you know, but after the 2 minutes and he got punched in the face.
Yeah.
Then he came back and you know, showed why a lot of people consider him to be the best pound-for-pound fighter.
And on my list, he is the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. I know most people, it's either pretty much they have Anderson Silva or GSP. Mm-hmm. Fedor is now off that list for a lot of people, just saying. But, you know, and I could see where someone would think GSP was. Mm-hmm. We had a conversation before. We were talking about what do you look at? Is it their entire career? Is it after they won the belt? You know, I think if it's after you won the belt, you know, I think GSP is the front runner. I think if you look at whole career, I would take Anderson Silva, but the storyline that is set up by all this is, will we see, you know, the big fight between
the super fight,
the dream fight between GSP and Anderson Silva?
Yeah.
And I think that this sets it up better than anything has in the past, because who is in line to fight Anderson Silva next?
Really? I don't even know. It's Yushin Okami. That's right.
And I want to see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, actually, I really don't.
Nobody does. That's the thing. He's pretty much cleared out that division.
Yeah. I mean, and then so you take GSP, who has a title defense coming up against Jake Shields. And if he takes care of business with that, who's next in that division?
Yeah, that's really his last contender.
You know,
I mean, there's
Mike
a couple
Swick.
Guys. Yeah, Mike Swick and, you know, Rumble Johnson, maybe.
Who's fighting Dan Hardy next?
You've got
GSP
a couple guys,
demolished.
Coming up, maybe. But, I mean, nobody
Carlos
that's...
Carlos Condit?
Yeah, Carlos Condit. There's nobody that's a real contender for him right now either.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that a lot of that is because these guys are the most prolific defenders of their titles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They've had a chance to clear out that upper echelon. You know, Silva with the 9 title defenses, GSP with the 7. I mean, the upper echelon has tried and failed, and it's been one after the other. It's not been like this craziness in light heavyweight where it's been back and forth and the belts
this
move around.
This person, that'd be
paper
this person.
Yeah, you know. Talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think now it makes more sense.
Well,
than
not right
it
now,
had.
But after the Jake Shields.
Yeah,
fight.
Yeah. I think at that point it would make more sense than it ever has before.
Yeah, definitely.
That you know, and I think going forward, the question will be, where does this take place? Is this at a catchweight where neither of their titles are on the line?
I hope that's what they do. I think this fight should be at a catchweight, sort of a middle ground between 185 and 170, and that way neither of their belts is up for grabs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to see either of them with, you know, a belt in both of those divisions.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I hope they do some sort of a catchweight with it if they do it. And I hope they do it.
Yeah. I think now if they're ever going to do it, I think
this would be the time.
Yeah. If GSP defends against Jake Shields, heck, even if he doesn't defend against Jake Shields, I would like to see
Everyone would still like to see
So I hope Dana White, you know, it's looking like it has more teeth at this point than it has previously.
Yeah. Just one more quick note on the Anderson Silva fight. That did get knockout of the night honors.
Okay.
Moving on, we're going to talk quickly about the Forrest Griffin fight. This was the second or co-main event on the card. It was Forrest Griffin versus Rich Franklin. And Forrest Griffin came in. You know, Rich Franklin moved up from 185 to 205. Just looked undersized for 205.
Yeah.
Looked a little weak for that division. Forrest Griffin pushed him around, won a unanimous decision.
Mm-hmm.
A pretty solid victory for Forrest, I think.
Yeah. And the downside to this fight is I think we kind of saw the decline in Rich Franklin. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like he really is even a contender because that's not what he was in the first place. But it looks like maybe he's getting to that point where he needs to hang it up a little bit. 205 is not his weight class.
Yeah, 185 was optimal for him.
I mean, and we all remember back, you know, in 06-07 neighborhood when he was the champ at middleweight. But if you look at his last eight fights rather, he's 4-4, and that's since October 20th of 2007. So he's lost to Hendo Henderson. Obviously, lost that pivotal fight against Anderson Silva, where his career
we're starting
to see that downslide.
Yeah.
You know, so and then of course the Griffin loss and the belt. He did lose to Belt. For too. So, I think it's about that time that Rich starts thinking about hanging up his gloves.
Yeah. Unless the only way I can see his career moving forward is if he goes back down a weight class and is kind of the gatekeeper, the Chris Leben of that weight division.
Yeah.
You know,
it's sad to see because Rich Franklin has had a great career.
Yeah.
And
really
he was a great champion.
Really.
But I think he's probably near the end of it. Moving on, the next fight was the fight we were all looking forward to most.
Should've
on
been
the card. Should have been. It was John Jones versus Ryan Bader. And again, with air quotes, two undefeated fighters. John Jones ended up taking the win in round two via guillotine choke, which is interesting. No one
so amazing.
No
this
one
guy.
Saw that coming.
I mean,
only
geez.
His third win by submission, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. And he's been a great striker, a very unorthodox and good striker in the UFC, and then comes in and wrestles with Bader, out-wrestles the wrestler.
Which Bader was a Pac-10 3-year champion, something like that.
I don't know exactly the stats, but I know
it
was very decorated as a wrestler.
In the Pac-10.
Yeah.
And you have John Jones coming in from a community college in Iowa who takes him down. I believe he was 3 of 5 on takedowns. I believe Bader had 2 failed attempts at a takedown. I mean, he out-wrestled him, out-strike him, better jiu-jitsu. I mean, how do you beat this guy?
I don't know.
How do you beat him?
And that's what Shogun Hua is going to have to figure out, actually, because Dana White comes in after the fight and announces that since Rashad Evans is now injured and cannot challenge Shogun Hua for the belt, they're giving the title shot to John Jones next.
Yeah. When he steps up, takes it, he's excited about it.
Yeah.
And kind of almost like a soap opera kind of going on with the storyline here. Jones was helping Rashad prepare for Shogun Hua. So he's been watching tape on Shogun with Rashad. Him and Rashad make a pact that they're not going to challenge each other for the belt. Well, that was when Rashad was supposed to be getting the belt and John Jones was kind of going to be the up-and-comer.
Yep.
Now things change, you know.
It'll be interesting to see if that pack still holds.
Yeah, I really want to see kind of moving forward with that. Kind of on a side note, too, Rampage Jackson was offered to fight first, declined, had a fight coming up with Thiago Silva, which isn't happening anymore.
Thiago Silva had a questionable drug test result from UFC 125.
They said it looked like he was going to back out of this fight.
Yeah.
Looking like Matt Hamill now will be the next one to face Quinton. And Rampage Jackson stepping in for Thiago Silva. So
okay,
a little bit of a side note there.
Yeah, and kind of a step back for Rampage, I'd think. But anyway, moving on, reviewing this card anyway, the 126 card. The next fight was Jake Ellenberger versus Carlos Rocha. Jake Ellenberger won via split decision, which was a little surprising, I think. Two of the judges had it scored 29-28 for Ellenberger.
Yeah.
And that's how I had it scored, too. I thought that was a good decision there. But the other judge, why it was a split decision, had it scored 30-27 in favor of Carlos Rocha.
That was very weird.
Yeah, it was
very weird.
A little odd, I thought. But Ellenberger did look good. He's been on a tear recently, and it'll be interesting to see where he goes going forward.
Definitely.
And then the last fight on the main card was Miguel Torres versus Antonio Banuelos.
Beautiful fight.
Very good fight. Miguel Torres wins by unanimous decision. Couldn't finish him.
Yeah.
But was a very convincing win.
And then some people were even booing this fight, which
I didn't get that.
I cannot even fathom why. It was so great. It was a great game plan.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the significant strikes at the end of the fight.
Yeah.
I believe Buenuelos had 10 and Miguel Torres had like 80.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just beautiful. I've been training in Canada and plans on going back there after, now that this fight is over. kind of setting up what they're looking for in the future is maybe him versus Uriah Faber.
Which would be very interesting.
I would be so excited to see that
and
one.
And I think Miguel Torres for a title shot in Bantamweight is coming up in the near future as well, which will be interesting to see. The only other fight we want to mention on this fight card anyway was Donald Cerrone versus Paul Kelly. Donald Cerrone gets the round two submission, and that fight ended up getting Fight of the Night honors.
Which I don't really understand. It was a good fight. Yeah, I didn't think it was.
Decent fight, but on a fight or on a card where you have Anderson Silva with that great knockout, you know, John Jones with his fight with Ryan Bader, I don't know how this one quite got fight. Even Miguel Torres had a great fight.
I mean, it was good, but I just didn't think. So I guess moving forward, it'll be interesting to see what Cerrone does.
Yeah,
in
he looked good in that fight. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what he does going forward.
All right, make sure you guys check us out on segment three. We're going to be previewing the next UFC 127, kind of giving you the matchups that are happening there and giving you some of our predictions of how those matchups are going to turn out. So make sure you check us out on segment three.